The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you in the name of God, our Father, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel reading is a bit of a doozy. On first reading it or hearing it, you might find yourself asking, is there any good news here? Jesus proclaims that he has come to bring division instead of peace. It can be hard to wrap our head around this idea, as we often refer to Jesus with his appropriate title, Prince of Peace. For when Jesus was born, the angels proclaimed that his birth would bring peace on earth and goodwill to all people. How, then, do we reconcile these divisive words of Jesus with the comforting words he proclaimed in last week's gospel? Have no fear, little flock. Is this really the same good shepherd? Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to totally clear this up, and I feel like I lost the preacher's lottery, but I do believe that there is beauty and mystery in the contradictions we find in Scripture, and perhaps they are meant to help us wrestle with our faith rather than be perfectly squared away. As I have pondered and wrestled with this text this week, I found that the context in which Jesus is living and speaking to be helpful to my interpretation. You see, Jesus is living in Galilee around the sliver of Palestine, which is in the first century, and it's in Greco-Roman culture. And the most important structure of society at that time was the family. However, family was different than we think of it today with our nuclear family units. In Jesus' day, your family defined everything about you: who you could be friends with, who you could do business with, who you could marry, where you could live, what religion you practiced, everything. Marriages were a business deal, and the new wives were expected to move into her husband's family home. And if he had brothers and he had families, they would all be together in one big, happy, multi-generational household. Women had very little agency of their own. It's a totally different structure than ours. Some of you joke that there's scandal in your families because a Norwegian married a Swede. None of that type of ethnic blending would have happened in Jesus' time. So, if your whole life is destined for you based on what family you were born into, perhaps Jesus' words of dividing families has some element of liberation. With Jesus, you are no longer defined by your earthly family. You are defined by your identity as a child of God. This completely shakes up the status quo. So yes, Jesus did not come to bring peace, if peace meant keeping unjust structures of society in place. Jesus came to bring peace through a new order of love and peace and grace and new life. And I think that is good news. Unfortunately, though, we are still yearning for this reality to take place. Our family makeup might be different, but we still have plenty of unjust structures in our culture. We still find all kinds of ways to define and limit people's place in society based on what we judge of their socioeconomic status, ethnicity, education, gender, sexual orientation, or political persuasion. This happens on a macro level, if you think about where certain people can live in certain communities, or on a very personal level, like the judgments that we make when we first meet someone. I will admit that I have been guilty of especially categorizing people unfairly. When I first met Jacob, my now husband, for the first time, I was 20 years old and I had the whole world figured out. And I made all kinds of assumptions about him. As we're getting to know each other with this group of camp staffers, I found out quickly that he was a Marquette University graduate, which is a Jesuit school, and he had a job as a software engineer. My instant assumption based on that was that he was Roman Catholic. There's nothing wrong with being Roman Catholic, but I was going to be a Lutheran minister, and I didn't know how that was going to equate for the future that I had for myself. And then there's the software engineer thing. I thought that he would be incredibly nerdy and not worth my time dating. Because I'm incredibly sociable and likable. And this just wasn't going to work. The assumptions I made about him did not fit into the assumptions that I had about myself. And it turns out I was completely wrong about him. He was a cradle Lutheran. He's, yes, very intelligent, but wonderful to be around, and I like him a lot. This is a relatively innocent example with a very happy ending. But it's these types of quick judgments that only add to the polarization and tribalism that we have in our society today. Even with our brazen gospel passage, I don't think that Jesus wants us to make these divides even deeper. Instead, I think that the context of our gospel message encourages us to consider, how do we limit each other by making unfair judgments or by choosing not to engage with someone because they're different than us? While we were at family camp this past weekend, I heard a story about one family who is trying to help their kiddos care about different perspectives. We were at the adult Bible study, and the camp did an amazing job of splitting us all out by age group, and if you want to join us next summer, please let me know. But anyways, we're in Bible study, and we were studying how to love your neighbor. That was our discussion topic. And one mom told a story about taking her daughters around the neighborhood to sell Girl Scout cookies. And they came to one house on the block, and her daughter said, "No, Mom, I don't want to sell to that house. They had bad signs up last fall." And her mom was surprised, one, that her elementary school daughter noticed, but also that she made such a conclusion about not wanting to interact with the people next door. She realized that her daughter must have been remembering signs endorsing a particular political candidate, which her family didn't agree with. However, the mom wisely said, "Honey, we cannot stop engaging with our neighbor just based on that one thing. We will never get to know each other that way." So our conversation at camp concluded that we don't have to agree with our neighbor to have relationship with them. We don't have to agree with our neighbor to love them. We don't want to miss out on relationships with people just because of our misguided judgments or our perception of them. And this conversation we had at camp reminds me of a quote that my college psychology and counseling professor, Dr. Joseph Breitenstein, would always say. Empathy does not require agreement. You don't have to agree with someone's ideas or behavior to take the time to try to understand them or have compassion or care for them. I would expand his quote even further this morning in light of our gospel. Empathy does not require agreement. Love does not require agreement. And peace, even peace, does not require agreement. In Jesus' reign of peace, people from every walk of life are welcome, and we are free from the judgments and the limits that we put upon each other. So my prayer this week is that Jesus will help us make it so. Let us pray. Jesus, our Prince of Peace, open us up to one another. Free us from making unfair assumptions about each other. Lead us to build your kingdom of peace and grace by loving our neighbor, no matter how different they may be. In your name we pray. Amen.